And turn with me in your Bibles now to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 has been our Psalm of the month here at Tri Lakes for the month of January. So today and the previous four Lord's Days, we sang this psalm together corporately. And our encouragement to you as elders is that you would make use of this in your private devotions and even your family worship, so that month by month we are memorizing certain portions of the psalms, so that these might minister to us as we go about all of the activities that we find ourselves doing throughout the week. I'm going to try to preach on the psalm of the month each month in our evening service, and so that's why I needed to take advantage tonight to preach on Psalm 62. In the selection that we have been singing, the A selection, which we'll sing following the sermon this evening, we sing only verses 1 through 8. And this psalm divides easily into two parts, 1 through 7 being the first part, and then 8 through 12, the second part. And I really want you to hear in this psalm tonight, as I read, the words of King Jesus, your risen and ruling King. This is a psalm of the King, and yes, it was originally written by King David, and served a purpose in that original context, but it finds its ultimate fulfillment. It anticipated our risen and ruling King, the one who right now has all authority in heaven and on earth. Because of that, I want you to hear King Jesus tonight. He speaks of his confidence in verses 1 through 7, and then he turns and he addresses us in verses 8 through 12, saying we should have the very same confidence as we place our faith in him. So let's now give our careful attention to the Word of God. This is Psalm 62. To the choir master, according to the Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. Amen. Will you please bow with me briefly for prayer? Our great God in heaven, this is your holy word, and it is holy because it is unlike any other word. It is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of bone and marrow. And we pray and plead with you now that you would pierce our hearts with your word. We read earlier that it is only in your light that we can see. And so we pray that you would give us illumination by the work of your Holy Spirit, even tonight as we consider your word together, that your Holy Spirit would shine a bright light upon this word and give us the eyes of faith to see what cannot be seen with our human eyes, that we might see our reigning King Jesus singing his song of confidence over us and calling us to share in and live in that same confidence. Lord God, we are dependent upon you in this time, and so we seek you, pleading and asking for your blessing. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There is an old saying that is consistent with the Word of God and that has been validated by history time and time again, and that saying is this: as goes the king, so goes the kingdom. As goes the king, so goes the kingdom. You may have encountered this saying in a variety of form: as goes the king, so goes the country, or as goes the king, so go his people. And although it appears in a whole host of ways, the message remains the same. The leader of a people holds very great sway over his people. For example, if our president were to lead our country into war, all of us would then be led into that same war. Conversely, let's take a king this time. If a king in his labors establishes peace with his enemies, his people, the people that belong to that king, enjoy the fruits of his labor. In just these two examples, we can see the truthfulness of that saying: as goes the king, so goes the kingdom. Well, here tonight in Psalm 62, we have a song of the king. The title tells us that this psalm was originally written by King David. And so now I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like to actually be ruled by a king who would sing these words to his people. You might think back to Israel under the reign of King Jesus. At one time in history, the nation of Israel could literally listen as their king sang these words. Listen to his confession that he would sing over his people. "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." Can you imagine what it would be like to hear your personal king making these boasts with his lips? Well, not only did King David make these boasts, but he also, as it happens in this psalm, he addressed his people as well. After singing of his confidence in God, he turned to his people and he sang to them, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Could you imagine what it would be like to hear a king today singing these words? Can you imagine what it would be like to hear these words from the lips of those who rule and reign over us right now? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Can you imagine Governor Polis humbling himself, repenting of sin, and then making his only boast in the Lord? Could you imagine President Joe Biden, instead of boasting in himself and in the power of democracy, leading our nation in humble repentance and calling upon our country to trust in God alone? Can you imagine it? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Well, in a very real sense, you don't need to imagine what it would be like, because the words of Psalm 62, rightly understood, are the words of your risen and ruling and reigning King. These words are the words of King Jesus. Whenever we read and whenever we sing Psalm 62, we hear the words of King Jesus lifted upon our lips. And dear saints, tonight I want you to give your careful attention to Jesus Christ. I want you to give your careful attention to your risen and reigning King. As the promised King, Jesus ascended up on high, where he is now seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And Jesus is, according to God's word, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And in this psalm, we hear the words that our King sings. As goes the king, so goes the kingdom. The kings and the rulers of this present world, for the most part, sing a very similar song. They sing a very similar song as it is noted in Psalm 2. They rage against the king. But what does your king sing? What does King Jesus sing? I want you to listen tonight to the words of your risen king, and I want you to keep in mind that saying, as goes the king, so goes the kingdom. So what does your king sing? Well, let's begin by considering the king's confidence. The psalm breaks down into two parts. The first seven verses form one half, the final five, the second. And the reason why that old saying came to mind as I studied this psalm is because it captures very well this psalm in just a few words. As goes the king, verses 1 through 7. So goes the kingdom, verses 8 through 12. But when we listen to verses 1 through 7, we hear specifically about the confidence of our reigning king. Now, if you are following along with the outline that's provided there on the back of your bulletin, you will see that there are three spaces with words, each word beginning with the letter R. And each of these help us to capture and to communicate the confidence of King Jesus. What does King Jesus sing? Why does King Jesus sing this song of confidence? Well, first, because King Jesus found refuge in God alone. I want you to think about Jesus in his humiliation. Jesus took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of man. And as the promised son of King David, King Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. And in his humanity, he found his refuge in God alone. Listen to verse 1. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. The language of verse 1 invokes imagery, the imagery of a ship that has found safe harbor from the rough waters on a stormy sea. Jesus, in his humiliation, underwent all of the miseries of this life. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He was constantly doubted and mocked. He was persecuted and attacked. And yet, in it all, King Jesus was like a silent lamb before its shearers. Even though Jesus' experience in this world could very easily be likened to the rough waters of a stormy sea, he remained calm and confident, as if hiding in a peaceful, safe harbor. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus waited in silence for God. And verse 2 tells us why. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. With unbroken focus, Jesus focused upon his Father. He knew the purpose for which he had come, to save his people from their sins. He knew that he would lay down his very life to save them. And he entrusted himself to the Father, awaiting his salvation while doing good. Jesus stood before his accusers in complete silence, trusting in the sure promise of his Father. How much more then should we hear King Jesus today? In his earthly ministry, he boasted confidently in God, but right now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he is seated there as our risen and exalted King. In his earthly ministry, he boasted as a man by faith in the Word of God, but now, as the God-man, as the risen and exalted seated King, he boasts in God alone. And he boosts our faith by boasting in what he now sees. Well, King Jesus' confidence is rooted in the refuge that he found in God, and as we go on, we see that this same confidence then manifested itself in rebuke. In verse 3, Jesus addressed those who attacked him. The question that Jesus asks is, how long? Now, whenever we find ourselves asking this question, it is often as with a tone that tends toward despair. We might think of the words of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? That is a sentiment that we hear repeated a number of times throughout the Psalms, but I think that the tone found here in Psalm 62 is actually different. Here we have a rhetorical question. We have a rhetorical question asked by King Jesus from a place of confidence. He says, "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence?" Throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he faced the assaults of enemies from every side. They tried to discredit him, they tried to silence him, and when these attempts failed, they set their sights on killing him. And look at how Jesus describes their plan and their pleasure. Verse 4, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. This was their plan, and it continues to this day. Even as Christ has been exalted on high, the endless attack of his enemies aims to bring him down. Verse 4 speaks of their pleasure. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. We need to be careful not to be deceived by this world. Many today continue their attacks against our risen King. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. They say things like, "He is a good teacher." They say things like, "He is a prophet." They say things like, "He is a good moral example." But each of these are simply examples of how people will bless him with their mouths. But inside those hearts are where their curses are found. I find the words of verses 3 and 4 a fitting parallel to the words found in Psalm 2, another psalm of the Lord's anointed king. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart. Let us cast away their cords from us.'" Well, as verse 4 there in Psalm 2 goes on, it says, "He who sits in heaven laughs." He who sits in heaven laughs. When the nations rage and the peoples plot, they rage and they plot in vain. And our risen and ruling King laughs. Well, here in Psalm 62, we hear the same confidence of King Jesus as he rebukes the endless and the fruitless attacks of his enemies. They attacked Jesus when all others left him, and even though they crucified him, their attacks continue to this day. Well, the final way that we see the king's confidence is in his words of reassurance. In verses 5 through 7, Jesus speaks to himself. You might ask, why would King Jesus need words of reassurance? Why would Jesus speak to himself? Well, we must remember that Jesus was made like us in every way, yet without sin. In his humanity, Jesus walked by faith and not by sight. Although he was and is fully God, in his humanity, he still faced great temptations. Just think about the way that Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus, saying, "There is another way, Jesus." Satan tempted Jesus, casting doubt upon the word of God. And so you can imagine how these words, the words of our text here, were aimed at keeping at bay the tempests of temptation, where he speaks to himself, verse 5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence." He reassures himself, "For my hope is from him." Notice how in these three verses, the word "my" is employed in reference to God as a reassurance of his promised care. Listen again to verses 5 through 7. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God." Jesus speaks to himself these words of reassurance. He speaks to himself things that he cannot see with earthly eyes, things that he knows and he believes by faith. The first half of this psalm tells us how it goes with the king. A fitting summary of these seven verses is found in Psalm 21. We sang Psalm 21 earlier. Psalm 21:1 says, O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. And then verse 7 in Psalm 21, because the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. As goes the king. This is how it goes with the king. Our risen and ruling king, King Jesus, he sings over us this song of his confidence. This is how it goes with our king. But King Jesus does not stop singing just about his confidence. He goes on. After he sings about his own confidence, Christ our King continues in verses 8 through 12. He pivots and he puts his attention upon us. He calls to all who are his. So let's consider next the king's call. As goes the king, so goes the kingdom. As goes the king, so goes his people. Christ's confidence, dear saints, the confidence of your king has great implications upon in each of your lives from day to day. The confidence of your king has great implications for your life each and every day. Just as with the king's confidence, as we now consider the king's call, we're going to look at three headings. Each of these begin again with that letter R, as you see there in the back of your bulletin, but let me give you a hint. They're the same three words. Look with me at verse 8. After Christ our King gives expression to our confidence, he turns and he addresses us as his people. And just as his confidence was grounded in the fact that he found refuge in God alone, he calls upon us to do the same. And Christ's call to you tonight is for you to find your only refuge in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Note with me three aspects of Christ's call there in verse 8. First, notice when you are to trust in God. You are to trust in God at all times. It is really amazing when you stop and think about the blessing of these words. Trust in him at all times. What a beautiful and what an amazing command. What a privilege for the people of the king. I read an article this week in which the author wrote about what he called an anxiety epidemic. He cited many statistics to prove that anxiety is right now at an all-time high, and his thesis was that fundamental change can defeat the anxiety epidemic. He said only fundamental change can defeat the anxiety epidemic. Well, I agree with him so long as he would agree with me that fundamental change is trusting in God at all times. Think about Peter and John in the book of Acts. Think about when they were arrested before the council in Acts 4. Peter and John were arrested for preaching the gospel. And they were commanded to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Peter and John responded to that council, even as threats were made to them. They responded with great boldness, standing before those who could find them and take away everything they owned. Standing before the ones who could imprison them and take away their freedom for the rest of their lives, and standing before the ones who could beat them or even kill them, they refused to give in and to obey the charge given them. How were Peter and John filled with such boldness? Well, it was because they entrusted themselves entirely to God. No fines, no imprisonments, no beatings, and not even death. They knew could ever separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Remember the words of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Peter and John stood there before the council, their very lives threatened. They were commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And those men stood there with a perfect peace. Because even though it seemed as though the end of their lives could be very near, they trusted in God at all times. The second thing I want you to notice is that prayer is key in finding refuge in God. Verse 8 says, pour out your heart before him. It's important to note that this call to prayer is a call to corporate prayer. The words of this psalm are not a call to pour out your heart individually before God, although the scriptures do call us to do that. Instead, this call here in verse 8 is a call to corporate prayer. In fact, the people of God are said to pray with one heart. You all, plural, are to pour out your heart, singular, before God. What preceded and what accompanied the boldness of the believers in the book of Acts? It was their corporate prayer. In fact, when Peter and John were released from prison, they immediately went and they found the brethren and they joined together and they prayed for more boldness. Prayer is the key to knowing God as refuge. Prayer is the key to when stormy seas surround us. Prayer is the key that we enter into his safe harbor. Third, notice the change in pronoun usage. In verses 1 through 7, we hear our king using that first person personal pronoun, my, many times. He says, God is my rock, my glory, my salvation, my refuge, my fortress, my salvation, and my hope. Well, notice the change here in the final stanza of verse 8. He still uses the first person personal pronoun, but now it becomes plural. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Christ is calling upon us tonight to make God our refuge. For when we do, all of the faithfulness that he found in God becomes ours. And we look to Christ and we see the faithfulness of his Father to him. And we understand that all of these things are ours in him. He becomes our rock, our glory, our salvation, our refuge, our fortress, our salvation, and our hope. These are the things that belong to us because Christ is our King. When God is your refuge, even if this life is filled with turbulent seas, God becomes your safe harbor. And he is the place that your soul can rest in while you wait for his salvation. So listen to King Jesus tonight and make God your refuge. Next, Jesus sings a word of rebuke. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. This rebuke is similar to, but different from, the rebuke we considered earlier. Because this is a rebuke from a friend for his friends. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your hope on them. Here we are warned. Here we are rebuked. Because our natural tendency is to trust in man and to trust in riches. Our natural tendency is to trust in others and to trust in wealth. We are tempted to turn to these things, but in all reality, they are a vain hope. God alone can be your refuge. But when you have God as your refuge, you actually need nothing else. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. They were told to bow down before that golden statue of the king, and they refused. And when they refused, they were threatened with their own lives. And yet they stood there before the king who could kill them, and they spoke to him with boldness. They said, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." When your trust is in God, you don't need to fear even the worst things that man can do to you. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain, and to depart is actually far better. So, dear saints, where is your trust tonight? What is it that calms your heart? You could think similarly, what is it that disturbs your heart? Is it in your retirement fund? Is it in political figures or form of government? Is it in investments or savings accounts? If you have your hope set on things like these, each and every one of them are but a vain hope. Listen to the words of Hebrews 13. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And notice where the writer takes us next. For he has said, Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a statement of faith. What can man do to you? The Bible is very clear about this. Man can kill you. What can man do to you? Man can take away your life. But praise be to God. Man can only kill you. And so the boldness and the confidence of believers is found in unseen realities. Even if the worst comes upon you at the hands of your enemies, you need to know and to believe what God says in His Word, that for you as believers, death has been transformed from something tragic into the gateway into glory. This is the confidence that you can have in your risen and reigning King. And this is why this psalm ends with a word for us of reassurance. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. Listen, these are frightful words for anyone who is outside of Jesus Christ. You will render to a man according to his work. These are frightful words for the one who is outside of Jesus Christ. If God is going to render to you according to your works apart from Jesus Christ, well, then you tonight should have only the fearful expectation of judgment and of a fury of fire that will consume God's enemies. These words are not reassuring words for you if you are outside of Christ. But if God is your refuge, if you have sought refuge in Jesus Christ, then you will have rendered to your account according to the work of that one man, Jesus Christ. You will render to a man according to his work. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you have his work accounted to you. The greatest confidence that anyone can ever know is simply being found in Jesus Christ by faith. For the work of Christ is credited to you therein. In Christ, your sins have been taken away. And in Christ, you have been clothed in His perfect righteousness. So, whereas you had once been at enmity with God, you have now been brought near, and you have an abiding, constant, and unchangeable peace with God. So brothers and sisters, this psalm tonight, it sets our hearts upon Christ. As goes the king, so goes the kingdom. When we read and we sing these words, we hear Christ, our risen and reigning king, singing over us these words of confidence. Often a loving father or mother will have a child maybe wake up in the middle of the night because of a bad dream. And in order to soothe that child, a loving father or mother will sing to that child in order to settle and to give confidence to a worried heart. Wrapped up in the arms of the ones who love him most, that child hearing those words will have his heart set at rest, and he will be set at peace, and he will have confidence. Well, in like manner, when we lift these words together with our voices, we hear Jesus Christ, like a loving father to his children, saying to us, rest quietly while you wait for God's salvation. The one who experienced it is saying to us, rest quietly while you wait for God's salvation. Wait quietly while he accomplishes what he has promised you. Rest quietly in the harbor, though the seas of this world roar and foam. Rest quietly while you wait for him. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Good indeed. Robert Murray McShane said once that if he could hear Christ praying for him in the next room, he would not fear 1,000 enemies all around him. But then he said, distance makes no difference. And I want to take Robert Murray McShane's statement one step further. You can hear him praying for you tonight as we sing together Psalm 62. So listen tonight as we sing, because King Jesus sings to you tonight. And let him soothe your soul even now by the power of his word. And remember, as goes the king, so goes the kingdom. Let us pray together. Oh, our gracious God in heaven, we cannot see you, but we love you because of what you have done for us in and through Jesus Christ and all of the glorious things that you have revealed to us by your word. Lord God, we pray that you would increase our faith as the disciples prayed. As we hear the words of King Jesus, as we sing Psalm 62, as we hear of our risen King singing confidently about the work of salvation that he experiences. He was raised from the dead. We pray that we too would be filled with that kind of confidence. Lord, we live in a changing world. We live surrounded by things that can shake our confidence. But we pray that you would cause us to shut our eyes to these things. And with the eyes of faith, to look to Jesus Christ, the one who will reign forever. We thank you, our God, for transforming for us that great enemy of death into the gateway to our glory. And we pray that you would cause us to grow each and every day in our confidence in King Jesus so that we might live for him. May it be that we, as your people, say to depart and to be with Christ is far better. For me to live is Christ, but to die is actually gain. Do this in us so that our hearts and our mouths are filled with your praise. So we pray this in your name. Amen.